Local news can come at you fast. Want the latest on what's happening in your backyard? Download the free Odyssey app. Follow your local news station, and you'll get alerts on the top stories making headlines in your city. You can stay in the know, no matter what you're up to, and be among the first to find out when news breaks. Plus, keep tabs on weather and traffic, so you're never caught off guard. To get started, download the Odyssey app. That's A-U-D-A-C-Y. And follow your local news station.
The longest, toughest postseason climb in the history of the sport. And after all that, it's Ohio State together at the mountaintop, champions of college football.
Yo, Paulie!
Paulie's a great name.
Yo, Paulie!
What'd you do for Paulie? Anything?
Me, Paulie! I was responsible!
Paulie, we're here because of you!
Well, they did it. The Ohio State Buckeyes from the Ohio State University are national champions in college football, beating Notre Dame last night. I was bandwagoning the Irish and it didn't work out for me. Time to go to the guest line this afternoon. Usually we talk to Bernie Miklas on Tuesdays and Thursdays, but we had to adjust. Bernie had some things he had to take care of. So in his place today, our normal Monday visitor and Wednesday visitor, who couldn't be with us yesterday because we had the inauguration, it's Matt Pauley who is joining us today. What's up, Matthew?
Not much. How are you guys?
We're great. How about that game last night? Is that about what you expected?
I thought Ohio State would win. I thought there was a chance that Notre Dame could keep it a little bit closer, but you look at those second and third quarters for sure where Ohio State just really took control of the game. So maybe I was a little bit surprised that Ohio State won by 11, but basically the game went the way I kind of expected it to.
Matt, I know it's your job to watch sports, but it's a little bit different, right? Because it's not like we had a home team in the game. Do you look forward to the college national championship game? Is it something that you feel is better than it was now that they have the playoff? Not as good as it was now that they have the playoff?
I thought it was fine. It's the national championship game for college football. That's the my enjoyment of last night's game was not impacted by the fact that it was the final game of a 12-game playoff. I think once you get to that point, the national championship game, however, whether we go back to the old BCS where it's just two teams are chosen or whether it's a 12-team playoff, whichever it is, you're going to get fired up about a national championship game.
I know it's totally different than March Madness, but I don't normally follow college sports other than local teams, but I love March Madness, and I get excited about March Madness in a way that's different than the football playoff, even though I like the football playoff format better than the selection committee the way it used to be.
Yeah, I mean, it's just different because of the way the sports are different, when the games are held are different, you know, things like that. I get that. And look, there are some tweaks that they need to do, and we're already hearing folks say, well, you may not be able to change anything for 2025. You might have to wait till 2026. Like, go do the easy stuff. Get this to be a true bracket. Get the seeds correct, things like that. It's not an event like March Madness. There's a lot more time between games. You're going about a week and a half between each round. So I avoid that comparison just because I think they're very different things.
So winter warm-up came and went, wrapped up yesterday afternoon. And, we got to hear from various players who were on KMOX throughout the weekend and, yesterday as well, yesterday morning. But also we got to hear a little bit from Bill DeWitt, who was on the stage for sort of a Q&A. He was up there with Chip Carey and Bill DeWitt III. So what are your takeaways, Matt, from the comments he made, what he had to say?
Yeah, you know, I think I thought it was interesting that, and this involves what John Mozeliak said as well, but it's all kind of connected to each other. I thought it was interesting that there's not this necessity to do something else if they don't trade Nolan Arenado. We had been kind of going under the, I don't know if it's an assumption or a presumption or just previous information, whatever it might be, we'd been kind of believing that, well, if they don't get this Arenado thing done, they're going to have to go do some other stuff to get payroll down. So the fact that we're not hearing that was important. I also thought that They talked openly about the fact that they were asked specifically about payroll and spending money, and hey, you know what? Aren't you comfortable with where you're at with the team as long as you're continuing to increase value of the team? Because as a team owner, that's where you make money. You buy the team for one amount of money, and then you sell it for another amount of money, and hopefully it has grown exponentially, which the Cardinals, their value has very much grown since the DeWitts took over. I thought it was interesting that the DeWitts essentially said that, you know, they don't really look at it that way, that they are in this for the long haul, that there's no intention of leaving. So yeah, when they are making some financial decisions, they are looking at it kind of on a year-to-year basis and not looking at it as, hey, you know what, we can lose this money because next year we're going to sell it and we're going to make a couple billion dollars.
Yeah, Bill DeWitt Jr. said, quote, "You have big markets that are just going to do what they do, and we're not in a position to compete at that kind of level of payroll. There's a time to do it and a time to build. We're trying to balance that so we have the opportunity to have competitive teams every year." And then he said, "The best way to build a championship club, in my view, is to have good players coming through the system."
I think that's right. I don't think he said anything there that's incorrect. I mean, there's frustration sometimes when the Dodgers and the Mets and the Yankees and teams like that can sit there and spend as much money as they want to spend, and the Cardinals are not totally in that shape. And I'm not saying the Cardinals can't spend more. I think they can't. They're in a spot where they probably could spend more if they wanted to, but I don't think they're never going to spend like the Dodgers. They're never going to spend like those other teams that I mentioned. You know what's amazing, though, and Ron, you'll relate to this. It was on a 670 Score the other day. Tom Ricketts is like, "Oh, we just try to break even every day." The Cubs are a team that spends the least percentage of their revenue on payroll every year, and we're hearing Ricketts say that in Chicago. So there's you look at comments like that and you compare what Ricketts said to what DeWitt said, and it's kind of remarkable that in large part they kind of said the same thing, despite the fact that Chicago is in such a better revenue position than the Cardinals are.
Dude, I feel bad for people who are, I know it's weird to say, bad for people who are Cubs fans, because to hear your owner say that when they have that ballpark that's sold out every day, they own all of that real estate around the ballpark, and they're the third largest market in the country, and he's talking like that.
Yeah.
Wow. I mean, I would be pissed if that were my team. Just to hear an owner say that, like, "Well, you know, what do you want us to do?" L.A. is the second biggest market. They're the third biggest market. There's no reason they can't spend. It's good for the Cardinals, though.
All those updates they did to Wrigley, right? To make it a state-of-the-art facility.
Yes. That's just a wild thing for him to say. And yeah, I think Bill DeWitt is right when he says you have to build from the ground up, or you have to have good foundational pieces that come through the system. The Dodgers have done that too. That's why they are so successful, because they do that part of it, but then they also go get the free agent when the free agent is available, or they make the big trade.
So, okay, yeah. if he's saying, which I believe, right, he's always been a draft and develop guy, does it add even more question marks then to how we let our development program fall to pieces?
Yes. This is how the Cardinals historically win at the highest level, by producing high-end talent out of the minor leagues. And they lost their way. They 100% lost their way in recent years. And they're trying to get back to where they'd previously been. And you know what? Once they get back to a point where I feel bad always bringing up Lance Lynn and Kyle Gibson, because it's almost like they have become the poster childs of everything that's wrong with the Cardinals. But you can't make those kind of signings when you're talking about your number three and number four starters. You can't go spend $25 million between those two guys. Those have to be players that you are developing from your own system. And then by not spending that money, you're able to make a much bigger splash in free agency and go sign all-star caliber players. Unless it is low contract, kind of filling out the back end of the roster sort of thing, like they'll probably do, maybe with a right-handed bat, maybe with a relief pitcher or two before the season gets started. Unless it's signings like those, when you're spending free agent money, you have to spend free agent money at a much bigger level than what the Cardinals have done recently. So that the way you do that is the vast majority of your roster is brought up through the system.
Yeah, so they're going to have to get better there. And I think I wonder, maybe it's just semantics here, I don't know if it's that they lost their way so much as that the way that it was that they were doing it that was working for so long, other teams just bypassed them. They figured out better ways to do it. And
both things are true, Ron. Both things are true. They did lose their way because they started signing too many mid-level free agents and they were no longer producing high-level talent out of the minor leagues. But to your point, yes, other teams got really good at what they were doing in player development.
They got complacent. And it was a, hey, we know what we're doing. Look at the results. Look at the evidence over the last 15 years or so. And yeah, that's true, but it's kind of like, I don't know, I guess I would look at it like if you're a doctor, all the information that you learned in medical school, well, there's constant research that happens. There are constant advancements, and doctors have to stay on top of the advancements. It's not just the things they learned when they were in med school. They have to constantly be reading the journals and knowing what's coming, and the Cardinals didn't really do that kind of thing. They just stuck with what had always worked for them, and we saw the end result. It just stopped working. I wanted to ask you about Wilson Contreras as well, because he, I don't know, we were talking about him yesterday. Just, that's as good of a teammate, I think, as you could possibly want, who's willing to do whatever it takes. They're going to move him to a new position. He's going to play first base. And there was a question yesterday, he was talking about, and maybe you were there, Matt, I'm not sure, where he was asked if he, or maybe it was alluded to, that he could go somewhere else, you know, request a trade if you want to move me and I could go play catcher somewhere else. And he said, I want the challenge. Basically, if that's what the team wants me to do, I want to stay here.
Yeah, I wasn't there. I was on caravan the last couple of days, so I didn't see him.
Oh, right, yeah.
But yeah, I read his comments, and I thought it was interesting that he did say that he's not going to take the easy way out, and the easy way out would be requesting a trade, because all those guys with the no trade clauses were presented with the opportunity. Hey, if a trade presents itself, would you be okay leaving St. Louis? And Wilson said no. So what does that look like? That looks like him becoming a first baseman, trying to stay healthy, opening up the door for those young catchers to get some time. So, yeah, I agree with everything you just said.
How was the caravan, Matt?
It was good. So we hit four cities in 2 days. Yesterday, we had a unique situation. Our bus broke down in Paducah.
Oh, man.
And I got to tell you, the staff members with the Cardinals are so amazing in the things that they do. Our group that was there, man, both back in St. Louis doing some things, and then the people who were with us, within, you know, the bus breaks down, and within a couple hours, we've got multiple rental cars, and we're hopping back in, and we didn't miss it. We were a little bit late for Cape Girardeau, but we weren't too terribly late for Cape Girardeau. The players that I was with, the alumni that I was with, none of them complained, none of them grumbled about the situation. So yeah, we had a bus go down in the middle of our caravan, but we rented a whole bunch of cars, and we made the drive from Paducah to Cape Girardeau, and then from Cape Girardeau back to St. Louis last night.
Did your bus have a bathroom?
It did.
Yeah.
You're not supposed to use it, though, right? We used to go on hockey trips. My
not
hockey
supposed
team.
To use it.
Yeah, like I think you're only
well,
supposed
why do you
to
think it's
go
there?
Number one. You're not supposed to go number two.
There's a sign in the bathroom that says no solid waste, so I would assume that's making reference to number two.
Why have a bathroom if you're not going to be able to use it?
So we got lucky, Matt, on our hockey team, because you'd think, oh, a bus of 20 girls, you know, did you have to stop? No, actually, we didn't. It was our male head coach who had to stop every 2 hours because, thankfully, he was a smoker, which was awesome because it gave us plenty of time to use bathroom breaks because he would have to stop every couple hours to smoke. So that made it easy. You were never too far away from a bathroom break.
Okay. I don't know how we got to here. But
does anyone smoke on your caravan?
There were no smokers that I was aware of on my caravan. So it's fun. You know, my group was Thomas Sejacy, Chris Roycroft, Kyle Leahy, Sim Robersa, Al Roboski, and Kerry Robinson. It was a really good group. We had a lot of fun over the last couple of days.
Sports Open Line tonight, 6 o'clock?
Yeah, 6 to 8. We'll go kind of... I wasn't on Sports Open Line yesterday because of the caravan, so this is my first opportunity to hop on post-winter warm-up / caravan, so we'll kind of go through a lot of the narratives that came out over the last few days.
Thanks, buddy.
That's awesome.
We'll talk soon.
Thank you. Glad you made it back.
Thank you. Thank you so much.
Your sister's
with me. I'll call you back later. See ya.
Broken down bus isn't...
I feel like buses break down frequently.
Well, at least it wasn't like a mega bus. Those things used to crash all the time.
What?